I want to share some things with you. I feel like the Lord's been dealing with me about this week. And we've been talking for a number of weeks about being followers of those. The scripture says in Hebrews 6 that you be not slothful, but followers of those of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so this morning we just want to sort of continue that in a vein of that still. And I want to start just kind of laying a foundation a little for it. But you know, there was a man named Jonah. Anybody remember Jonah? Jonah's not really somebody you really want to follow, I suppose. But I will tell you, he had some things in that's written in the book of Jonah that's very valuable for us this morning. I want to start in the first chapter and read just a few verses starting at verse 5, Jonah 1 and 5. And it says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now, we, most of us know the story of Jonah, how that God spoke to Jonah. He said, "I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to that city." And Jonah didn't want to do that for whatever reasons. And he got up and fled and took a ship to Tarshish. And while they were on that ship, a great storm came up. It was evidently a very unusual storm. So much so that not only did they cast everything out, but they began to ask one another, "Who brought this on us? This is something from God here. This is beyond the norm." And so we see this little picture here, and it says, "So the shipmaster came to him." Now Jonah was asleep down the bottom of the ship, and here was everybody else, and they were trying to make the best of it. But Jonah, he was asleep. And it says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not." Now, you know, these mariners, these men of the sea, they were every one of them calling upon their God. And I don't know what all their gods were. I don't know who they were. I don't know if some of them thought maybe the sun was God. Maybe Zeus was God. Maybe different, all kinds of ideas of God. And so that's all they knew. They just, every man called on his God. They didn't know what else to do. And they woke up Jonah. "Jonah, hey, what are you doing sleeping? You need to call on your God." But Jonah was totally different. His situation was totally different. And so we see that it says, "And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Now, Jonah was in a totally different situation. These men didn't know what to do. They just started crying out to whatever God they knew. But Jonah, when he spoke of a God that he knew. This wasn't a God. This wasn't just a God. Nobody made this God. Nobody carved him up. Nobody knew of somebody that died and now he was God and they worshiped him. This wasn't Buddha. This wasn't, of course, he didn't exist then. But, you know, we find here that Jonah, he said something very different. He said, "I'm a Hebrew and I serve the Lord," he said. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You know, this morning, there are many gods in the world today. People make themselves a god. People think sometimes that if they think it's a god. And whatever it is, and they serve those things, and they worship those things, made by men's hands, or by men's imagination, or by Satan's imagination. And they serve those things. But Jonah was in a different situation. He said, I fear the Lord. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. And, you know, we know of this God, don't we? We're very privileged this morning here to know the God that made the heavens and the earth and all the things that are therein. That's a very different God than something somebody carved or poured or somehow. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about the cause that we have that is so different than the cause that the world has. I find this week I met more than one person. One of them was angry. And she told Rosie and I, she referred to God in a very debasing way, a most ungodly thing, and then she kind of took it back a little bit. But you know, she had in her mind things, and that was her thoughts of God. And she was telling us, I think God's bigger than the Bible. You know, this morning, the Bible tells us of the one true God, doesn't it? The Bible tells us of the one true God. Is there any other that put things down as to how it happened? And we find that the more they excavate, the more they have archaeological digs, the more they authenticate the things that are written in the Bible, the more they find that these things that are written were true. The things that they said were there, they were there. And so we find that. Who else, hundreds of years before, accurately predicted what was going to come to pass? We serve a different Lord than the lords of the world. We serve a different God than just a God. You choose your God. Well, I think he's bigger. I think he's Buddha, and I think maybe he's Muhammad as the prophet. Maybe he's this one or that one. Who is God anyway? Does anybody know who God is? You know what, this morning? There is one Lord. And he made the heavens and the earth, and that's what the difference is. I talked to another person, and they were telling us about their God's too busy. He's got too many other people to worry about than me. I don't see how God can... And so... We got in a long conversation, and he allowed us to tell him a little bit about this one true Lord. You know, saints, this morning, God is a great God. He isn't a God. He is the God. He isn't something somebody made. He made all things. And by him, all things consist and all things. Folks, we have a cause the world doesn't have. We have a cause that because they've left God, and because they've invented gods, and because they've had 1,000 different kinds of religion, or thousands, they don't know where God is. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be able to know him and to find him. This is not just a figment. This is not just another God, but this is the Lord God. And you know, when we look at him, he made the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. I want to look over in Acts 17 and 22. Then Paul stood, Acts 17 and 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You know, Paul didn't go with a great holier-than-thou attitude to these people. But he told them, he said, you're worshiping one here that you don't know. That's the God I want to tell you about this morning. And so he went on to say, God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. Do you know there's worlds of doctrine here? There's things that the Lord wants us to understand. Do you know that we went to visit a place one time, and they had a great temple, and they had many things made, fabulous gold and all of those things. But do you know that the Scripture tells us that this God, see, we can't impress him with the things that he made. We can't form them up and say, here, this is in the image of God. Or here, this is God, here's what we're building for you. That doesn't impress God. But I will tell you what does impress God. And that's when a heart comes to him and humbles itself and takes his way and repents of its sins and repents of its way. And I want to look at what Paul told them here. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. There's nothing we can do, play, or make that will impress God. But I will tell you, he's looking for something in here that plays his tune. He's looking for something in here that's true gold. And that's those true things that God wants to have. And so he says here, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. It means he overlooked it. He knew. He knew men didn't know of him. He was dwelling. He had prophets and all of those things. But he overlooked the fact to a great extent that the world didn't know of him. But you know, it says here, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that? Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's going to judge the world by his Son, Jesus Christ. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so the Scripture goes on to say here, and Paul is bringing out a very valuable point, that he has given assurance unto all men because he raised him from the dead. They knew he was dead, and yet God raised him from the dead, gave witness that this was his Son. And so this morning, he's no longer looking and winking at the things people are doing. Folks, we've got a cause this morning. That cause is our God. And this is not a God. This is God. This is the God. This is Jehovah. This is the one true Lord that rules over all and that made all. And so he's looking for you and me to live for him, to repent, to change. If we have not repented before God, Do you know what God is looking for? He is bringing a day about in which He is going to judge the world. And He's going to bring us before His awesome presence. And we're going to give account for our life. And so He tells us now to repent. That means I turn away from. I turn back. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. And I want to take Your way. Do you know that when we do that, the Lord looks to us? And when we repent and truly change from our way, that God Himself comes unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know we can't do this through Buddha? We can't do this through the Eastern religions in India and all of those things. This comes from the God that made the heavens and the earth, that gave us His Word, that told us how He did it, and told us how men were made. We have sufficient witness. We know how long men have been here. And they go back and dig and dig and dig, trying to find, surely there's something. But you know what? They only go back a little ways. And then that's where it stops, doesn't it? That's where modern man stops all of a sudden. That's where he suddenly evolved into modern man, according to philosophy. But how is it? Something happened, didn't it? A few thousand years ago, 6,000 years ago, we find God made man in His own image. He formed him from the dust and He blew the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. You know, these things that we have here, this book, God's not bigger than this book. He is in this book. God wrote, gave us this book by His inspiration so we could know about Him. And this morning, I began to tell that fella a little bit about the Lord and what He had done in my life. You know, this morning, folks, we have a cause. There's a cause, and it's a lot greater than you and me. Folks, God is the answer for our civilization today. We haven't outgrown God, and God's not dead. And what the world is looking for, is needing, is you and me to be faithful to our post, to be faithful to our God. And I believe He'll bring glory to His name through our life if we'll be faithful in the little things of life. We heard about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school, how that, and we're going to be going to 1 Samuel 17 here, but we heard a little about being faithful in the little things. And do you know that when we're faithful in the little things of life, it is a great cause, because it leaves God to do His part. And when He has faithful men and women, He can do the things He wants to do. We studied about Joseph this morning. Last week we studied about Joseph in service, didn't we? Do you know that God is looking, folks, He's looking for a few people that pick up the cause, that realize what we're here for, that turn aside to all the things of the gods of this world, the gods people worship in their lives, the way they live, the gods of the age, the spirits of the world, that they turn away from those things. There is a cause that we have, that we know the true God, folks. It is a place that the Lord wants us to be willing and able to bring Him before other people, that they can know a little about Him. The Lord help us that in our day, on our watch, folks, it's our watch. You and I are alive today. We can't say it was the folks that used to lead. We can't say that we have no excuse. It's our watch today. We're all on watch today, every one of us. And the Lord's looking for a few faithful men and women to stand up and bear His name before men. I want to look at 1 Samuel 17 and 22 and read down through 29. It says, and David, now who was David? He was the king of Israel, wasn't he, at one time? But this was before that time. David was a man that feared God. He was a young man that loved God. And here he went out And the children of Israel, the people of Israel were in a great battle against the Philistines. The Philistines had come down upon them to do them damage and to do them harm. And here was this great giant Goliath, and we have record of it here, thankfully. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." Now I wonder who they were looking to. Were they not looking to the biggest guy? Who's the biggest guy we've got? Is there anybody here that can stand up to this giant? Is there anybody here that has a chance against this man? We've got to put somebody on the line. What are we going to do? Saul, you were head and shoulders above everybody else. You're the biggest guy. Why don't you get the armor on? Oh no, Saul, he didn't feel like that, did he? But here was a young man that knew the God that made the heavens and the earth. And this young man had something burning in him. When he heard them talking about this great giant defying the armies of the living God, not some God, not some something somebody made and poured and carved, but the living God, David couldn't bear that. Listen to what he said. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, we'll drop on down to 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now you know what he said? You know what he meant when he said this uncircumcised Philistine? He's not even in God's covenant. He don't know God. And who is he to defy the armies of the living God? You mean he's a heathen and we're trembling before him? This is what David, his heart burned. He couldn't take that, could he? "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." You know, Eliab was there for a whole different, his thoughts were completely different than David's. "David, who do you think you are? You think you're a big guy, huh? What are you talking like this for? You're embarrassing us. Be quiet." But David's heart was burning. And he said this, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" When David saw what was being done to the people of Israel, and his heart was so burning within him, he said, "Is there not a cause? What do you mean? What do you mean, be quiet? What do you mean I'm trying to be somebody big? Folks, this uncircumcised, this heathen man is defying the children of the armies of the living God." You know, this morning, the Lord is looking for a few of us, folks, to stand up. Is there a Goliath around? Is there really something that big? Or can we not take a little ridicule and be different? Can we not say, "Yes, you better believe it, I believe this thing. You better believe it, I'm living for the Lord like this. Yes, I look a lot different and I'm trusting God. You better believe it, I am." Folks, we live in a very different world than what they lived in. But there are Goliaths everywhere. And everywhere the spirit of unbelief is trying to pervade. And you hear them say, I cannot believe to this minute. My ears still burn when I think about what that girl said about God. And I think about that and it almost haunts me sometimes. I cannot believe she would be so bold as to say that about God. But do you know this morning, the Lord wants a few people that know the Lord. Folks, do you know the Lord this morning? Do we know Him? Do we serve Him faithfully and pray to Him and He speaks to us? Have we heard His word? Do we follow His commandments? Are we careful about the little things that we hear about? Does it matter? You better believe it matters this morning. There's a world all around us, and we have a cause, folks. There's a world all around us that has religion so watered down until we look everywhere, and you can't tell whether they're claiming to be something for God or not. You can't tell any difference. You can't tell any difference in their speech even, in the words that they say, the cursing. No, I hear it myself, and I've heard it a lot of times from the religious sector of our country. Is everybody that way? No. Thankfully, no. But you know what? There's a lot of it, folks, and our country is disdaining. They're looking on Christianity with disdain. We have a cause. Folks, we need to stand in our little corner and fight the battles faithfully that the Lord gives us. We need to be willing to be embarrassed. Are we willing, or are we going to say, you know, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't understand. Are we just going to cop out, or do we have a cause? Folks, we've got a cause, and I think it's time for us to have a little bit of vision for that cause this morning. God wants you and I to be different. He wants us to live for Him faithfully. He wants us to keep our homes free from the pollutions of the world. People bring in that evil little box full of pollution. They turn on the internet and get on things. Folks, listen. God wants us to be clean. He wants our lives to be something that we can show to people. I have internet, but folks, I'm very careful with it. And I want to tell you, the Lord is looking for us to provide something to the world that is very different than what they have this morning. Is there not a cause? I want to tell you, I feel a great cause this morning. The more I see the slide away from true religion and the true God, the more it burns in my heart. Folks, we have got something the world needs to know about, and we can't hide it and be guiltless. The Lord help us to do our job and do it well. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, maybe I'll read a little bit there. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Many of us have heard these scriptures many times. But you know, it begins in verse 4 by saying this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Do you know that this is the true characteristic of God's people? And when we come before Him to stand before Him, He's not going to have a little list of questions about whether we did this and we did that. And okay, well, you're okay. Folks, He looks at the heart. And the heart affects everything else. But He's looking at our heart. And He's looking, do you love the Lord with all your heart? And with all your soul? And with all your might? And with all your strength? That's the Bible standard right there. There is one Lord. There isn't a multiplicity. We can't serve Him part way and serve the gods of this world too. We've got to serve the Lord. There's one Lord. And it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now this is what God's going to be looking for when we come to the judgment. These words are going to be in your heart. He told us He would write them in our heart, didn't He, in the gospel day. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I just want to challenge us this morning that this one true God, that we serve Him, that we love Him, that we give Him His due because He made us. That's why He has that. That's why He has that call on us, because we are His. And we are going back to Him. And we are going to stand before Him. And so He is looking for a few people that will love Him with all their heart and all their soul and all their might and all their strength, and leaving the gods of this world behind to do that. There have been a few men and women in this world that have done that. We have record of Noah. No one else was doing it except Noah and maybe his family somewhat. That's all. But Noah served the Lord. And there's been many others that we have record of. I just want to encourage us this morning that we recognize and see this and see the Lord for who He is. Folks, we're not just in another religion. It's not just another belief. The Word of God is what God gave us. And we want to understand it. And we want to live by it. He told us we're going to be judged by it. In Acts 5 and 27, I want to look here, 27th verse of Acts 5. We'll read maybe about 5 or 6 verses there. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Now, you know, here they were teaching in the name of the Lord. And I believe this was Peter here. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God high exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to equip us. He wants to outfit us. And I want to tell you, when the Spirit of the living God lives in your heart, He wants to make our heart burn, and He will. And it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Dropping on down to 38. And now I say unto you, this man Gamaliel stood up, and he said, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now, at this point, they had just got their beating. Can you think, what did they say? What did Peter and the others say? Did they say, well, I don't think we better do that again. We better not preach in His name again. It says they departed from the council, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know, I know this morning, that these things are not easy. And I will probably be tested on some of this. But you know what? These men had such a vision of what they were doing that this did not even slow them down. In fact, they rejoiced because they were worthy to be counted. They were worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know, we may have to get a little different idea of things in the days to come. We may not always be able to be on top of the everybody respect us because we live godly lives. There may come a day, folks, when they take our things, as the rest of the world is suffering much of it already. But do you know, these people had a vision. They had a cause that this did not even daunt them. They went right back out, and they spent the rest of their life doing this, and they got beat, and they all got killed eventually, but they had a cause, and they laid their life down for it. And this morning, I just want to encourage us, that folks, that we get our mind up above the little things. Do I have to do that? Do I have to do this? Is this necessary? Is that... You know what? We've got a cause, folks. We know the Lord, and we know the Lord. We know Him. He's in our heart. He's in our life. He's in the truths that we have, that we've been handed, and we thank God for it this morning. Lord, help us to be faithful, to not hide our talent or the things that we have. You know, we read back in Deuteronomy 6. It goes on down there in that same chapter. And the Lord told them to beware lest you forget the Lord. Because He said that when things would get easy and you get settled in and everything easy, you beware. Because see, the scripture is to love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. That's not easy to do when everything's easy, because all we have to do is just kind of motor along. We don't have to love the Lord like that, do we? Well, we really do. That's the call this morning. And so He said, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. You know, there's something in the world today that, hey, what religion are you now? Well, I'm this. It's all equal. You have your religion, I have mine. You know what, folks? The holy God of heaven gave us this, and He meant it. And He meant it one way. We need the Spirit of God to direct us. We need the Lord to show us His way. And not our ways or our thoughts. It's so easy to have those things. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. In Acts the 15th chapter, it speaks of those that there were people that had begun to subvert the gospel, even back then, as early as the day is, probably the first day it went out, from the day of Pentecost, I'm guessing Satan began to try. Circumcision, some bring them back under the old law, somehow subvert the words. And so the brethren and the apostles assembled together, and they chose some men to take the truth to these men. And they said, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're just following these kind of people that have hazarded their lives. And folks, for us, if we are going to live in a world like we live, we're going to have to be willing to just be different. But we're not just a name among names. It's not just a church among churches. Folks, the Word of God is what we want. The truths of the Word is what we have to take to people. The one true God, and I don't believe that it's 100 different ways. It's through Jesus Christ and his teachings. And I believe God knew what he meant when he said these things. It's up to us to hear the Spirit of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 4 to 6, it says, "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for..." Well, maybe we'll quit at 6 there. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things." You know, this morning there is a great pressure upon you and me when we get around circles. I cannot believe the amount of indoctrination that has come through the many sources that it has come through. The colleges have been a great source of indoctrination to people of many gods. This morning, do you know that God is one Lord? He made all things. He made all that there is, and there is no other beside him. And there's not 100 religions. There's only one, and that's God's way. That's his truth. That's his church. It's the church that Jesus built. Folks, it's the church of God. It refers to it through. But you know, this morning, we want the Lord to help us to be that church. Stand up and shine. We have a cause in this world. The many religions, it is no problem for us to speak of what we believe, as long as it is alongside with equal reverence to all the other beliefs that everybody else has. That's no problem. But when you say that's not true, there is one God, there is one truth, there is one way, and there is one Jesus Christ. Do you know that starts bringing problems, doesn't it? But this is what we believe, folks. This is what we have found to be true. And I want to encourage us today. We have a cause. Let's don't let it die. Let's don't let, on our watch, let's don't let the world around us not know that there is a cause and that there is a God that is the true God, the one God, the truth. I told this man, I said, you know what God is really wanting? He's wanting people to repent of their sins and to be sorry and to change and to begin to live for him by his grace through Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants. I said, it's not rocket science. You know what? That's the bottom line of what God is looking for. He wants to change your life and mine. And folks, every false doctrine practically tries to take you away from that somewhere. The Lord is looking for people to live holy and godly lives before him. He's looking for people to repent of sin, to change their lives, to live godly in a wicked world. And what doesn't fit with that doesn't fit with God. And so this morning, there is a great cause today. The Lord help us to not abate and not look at this giant Goliath everywhere. You mean you believe that you're the only one? I don't believe I'm the only one. But I believe that there's only one truth and one way, and that's God's. And folks, I believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe God meant it 100 ways. There's a cause today. Those many ways take people from God. And eventually on every one of those lines you will find that somewhere, almost every place, if not every place, it leads to sin somewhere or the license to sin. Those are things God hates. It is what separated him from man from day one. And it still separates him. The Lord is looking for a few people to love him with all the heart, and all the mind, and all the strength, and all their soul, and to give all they have to it all the days of their life, That's all he's looking for. It's not rocket science. It's not anything, those things that don't fit in those lines. Those things that are sensual, leave them alone. Those things that tend to the world. Those things that lead people from God. We teach, we're pretty strong about the sports thing. You know why? There's many reasons why. Folks, why do so many of those people that are raised up on those high totem poles in the world of sports, why do they fall to such low moral character? What happens to them? Because God said that before pride comes before a fall. And you know when you're in all the newspapers and you are being lifted up, not the God in you, you are being lifted up. Do you know what you are fixing to do? You are fixing to fall. And just like God said, that's what will happen. And so what is wrong? Many things. That being, to me, one of the greatest. That we see that these things bring men low. Folks, we are a people that God wants to have a cause to promote His name in the earth. The glories that we have, are they not God's? The blessings that He gives, do we not want them to be giving glory to God? If He blesses our business, and He does that sometimes wonderfully to people, do you know that He wants that to be all His? He wants all the things of our life. If you become famous one day, folks, don't take it to yourself. Give all the glory to God. It is God that works. It is He. It is the one true God, and that is our cause. And that is what we are taking to the world. Why do we not believe in all those sensual things? Because they lead. They lead to things that cause men's eyes to fall, to cause men's hearts to transgress. That's why we run from those things. It's not rocket science, but folks, when you start living a pure life before God, it narrows things a lot. It just does. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate that enters into destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." And they're going to go professing Jesus all along the way. But folks, there's going to be, He said, "Narrow is the way, and straight is the gate," meaning difficult. It means you're going to have to put forth some effort. That's what He meant. Now, casting aside all the ideas of religion, folks, the Lord is looking for a few people to follow Him all the way and to love Him and to serve Him in truth and righteousness and purity in our lives. That's what we have to take to people. There's quite a few other things that, you know, we could talk about. One thing is, folks, we are all going to meet God. Do you know all these people are going to go out into eternity? And if they're lost, they're going to meet the Lord. And He said He's going to put them in a lake of fire. Folks, we have a cause, don't we? We care about these folks, do we not? I know we can't save them by ourselves, but we can live close enough to God that He can talk to them through our lives, that they can see something better. The Lord has a cause for us. When I see people's marriages in trouble, do you know what it does to me? My heart burns because I know I would be there if it was not for this God. Do you know that this God will make your marriage much more than enduring? He can make it happy. He can take two people that almost are so different they couldn't hardly live together, and He can weld them into one until they love to be together. Only God can do those things, but He can. And folks, we live in a world that just divorces. And the Lord said, don't do that. He said, He tells us how to work things out. The Lord gives us answers to those things. Is there not a cause this morning? When we see people suffering on every hand from sin and all those ungodlinesses, do we not have something to hand them? Can we stand by and somebody say, oh, you think you're big, huh? You think you're big, David? You're going to bring this giant down? No, but I know the God of heaven, and I know what He wants to do in your marriage. And I know what He wants to do in your child. And I know what He wants to do in your heart and how He wants to change it. And how He wants our lives to glorify Him this morning. Is it possible to glorify God? Is it possible to glorify God in this life, in this life of dog-eat-dog world? I believe it is this morning. The Lord help us, each one. There's so many dilemmas in life today. So many things people suffer from. So many things they don't understand. Folks, it is God that has the answers to those things this morning. We have a cause that I believe is worth taking to the people. I believe the Lord's big enough to help every single one of us. You know, when he told me that, I told him this. The age of the computer, because see, I used to kind of struggle with some of those things in my mind too. Satan is real active about that kind of thing, isn't he? Especially if you have an inquisitive mind. You know, the age of the computer has really enlightened my mind a lot. If a computer can keep track of so many millions of things every second, billions or whatever, and we created the computer, and God created us, and he created our mind even beyond that, beyond what a computer can do. Our mind, we can see all kinds of things happening. And God does all of that. And can you not tell me that it would be real easy for him to see all about you and me this morning? Be real easy for him to keep track of all the hairs on our head. That used to stagger my faith. I was like, does God really keep track of all the hair? I think God knows everything about all of us. You could ask him instantly and he could tell you how many cells is in your body. Only God can do that, but he can because he's God. Those things are no problem for him. The Lord help us this morning that we esteem him as the one and only and true God. And take this cause, folks. The world needs it. It's crashing to the end of the years, and eternity looms so soon. Amen.